Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou shalt turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, listen to this, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and asked from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath men heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, or that thou hast heard and lived? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was shown, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, there is none else beside him. Amen. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. Listen to this. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. Now I'm going to stop reading right there. I couldn't read a little bit more. But you get the gist of what this is about here this morning. God's simply saying this. When you get in trouble, and you have needs and you have concerns and worries, don't you worry and don't fret and don't give up and don't throw in the towel, because if you'll call on my name in your time of trouble, in your day of despair, I'll hear you and I'll answer you. And he was reminding them of that great exodus out of Egypt. And he said, talked about how he brought his people out of the land of bondage and all those great mighty wonders that God did. And what he's saying, I'm the same to you as I was to them. I love them and I delivered them. I love you and I'll deliver you. Ain't that a blessing this morning? You say, preacher, things are bad. The economy's bad. The jobless rate has gone up. Unemployment's up and prices are up and the housing market's collapsed. And it seems like everything's going backwards and everything's just belly up. Almost, what in the world are we going to do? I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do the same thing we've always done. We're going to keep putting our trust in God. We're going to keep looking to Him, because He's the one that brought us this far. And He's not going to quit us now. Amen? I'm glad, thank God, that we're serving a God who is alive and well. Amen? I'm glad God's alive and well. He knows what He's doing. He knows where you're at. He knows about your situation. He knows about mine. He knows what to do about it. And He knows when to do what He's going to do. Amen? Oh, thank God. I'm glad. If you just don't get ahead of God, you just trust Him. And you just put your trust in Him and say, God, I need you. I need your help. He'll be there for you. That's what I want to preach about this morning, is simply this. The God who is available. The God who is available. I believe Brother Sam mentioned it a little bit this morning in the Sunday school class, how that if you're high up and you're noble and mighty and got money, you're recognized and doors are open for you, and you can get places that you can't get if you're poor and you're a nobody. But I want to tell you today, we're serving a God who has an ear to hear, and He has an open heart for those that call on Him. It don't matter who you are. Amen? As said, one time this farmer went into a bank and he said, told his banker, he said, I got good news and bad news. First, the bad news. And the farmer said, well, I can't make my mortgage payments, and the crop loan I've taken out for the past 10 years, I can't pay that off. Not only that, I won't be able to pay the couple hundred thousand I'm still outstanding on my tractors and equipment. So I'm going to have to give up the farm and turn it all over to you and salvage what I can. And the man said, well, good gracious, what's the good news? The farmer said, the good news is I'm going to keep banking with you. Amen. I'm glad to say this morning, God is not bankrupt. God is not concerned and worried about the state of the economy and the state of the affairs and about what's going to happen. God knows exactly what's going to happen. God is way out there in the future already. He's already before and He's after. He is eternal and He's already there and He's got it all in His hand. What we got to do is learn to trust Him and just learn to trust Him and believe God. Amen. Brother God, Moses here is preparing His people for the future by looking backward. Sometimes you got to look back to remind yourself of what God's already done so you can see in the future what God's getting ready to do. He's reminding them of the blessings of God and the chastening of God and the fellowship of God. We're reminded in time of trouble God's available. Let me say this first of all. Number one, God is available to those that are lost. Could I say this morning, if you're here and you're undone without God, God loves you and wants to save you. That's the greatest message, the greatest thing that I could preach this morning. Those of you saved, I could try to help you out and try to preach to you and encourage you to hang in there. But those of you that's not saved, oh, what a message that the gospel gives. It's a message of hope. It's a message of love. It's a message of acceptance. Oh, brother, listen, God sent His only Son to this world to bleed and die for your sins. And if you're lost and undone without God, you are the very reason that He came to this world. You see all these, you see these pictures of Jesus hanging on the cross. You ever seen those? And blood's running out. Listen, there's no picture can really describe what He looked like and what He went through and how He was bruised. The Bible said they put a crown of thorns on Him and put a reed in His hand and they made fun of Him. They beat Him with a cat of nine tails and a lot of those prisoners, when they beat Him like that, they didn't even live to make it to the crucifixion because their guts would spill out and they'd bleed to death and they'd die from the pain and the torture. Oh, you see those pictures and those movies. Could I tell you something this morning? Remind you, ladies and gentlemen, He did that just for you. He did it just for me, that I wouldn't have to die and go to a death. Devil's hell and burn for all eternity. He did it so that I could enjoy being saved. He did it so I could have joy and peace. Oh, thank God! I want to tell you, He's available. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, you run to this old-fashioned armor. You'll find a God that's there waiting for you with outstretched arms. There's a great grace between a seeking Savior and a seeking sinner. Amen. A little boy one time was watching his daddy trying to fix a clock. And he put new weights on it. He put a new face on it. He put new hands on it. Couldn't get it to work. And the little boy said, "Daddy, I think I know what's wrong with the clock." He said, "What, son?" He said, "I think it needs new insides." Man, that's what you need this morning if you're not saved. You need new insides. You can't get that nowhere else. You can't get that from rehab or AA. I was thinking last night when they were singing that song, that girl was singing that song about, "I came by the way of the cross. That's how I got in, Brother Sam. It was by the cross. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that put me in. I got to think about what a drunk I was and a dope head. I thought it wasn't AA that rescued me. It wasn't drug rehab that rescued me. It wasn't my family that intervened. Oh, thank God, it was a caring, darling, loving Savior that went to the cross of Calvary. Thank God it reached way down beyond what any man could reach and picked me up out of the miry place of sin of this world and picked me up and saved my soul. Thank God I found out that what God said is true. He is available to those that are lost." You say, "Preacher, I'm lost, but I'm a bad person." I want to tell you something. You don't know what bad is. If you knew half the Christians that you know is so wicked, vile, and ungodly, and some of the things they've done, you just wouldn't believe hardly what God has done in their lives. See, you come to church, you look at us all dressed up and think, "Well, I can't live it. I can't be like y'all." Don't kid yourself. Most of us ain't that good now. But we're saved. I know I'm saved. I make mistakes and I sin. And I make mistakes all the time. I ain't perfect. Oh, but what's inside of me is what's perfect. This old flesh gives me trouble every day. Oh, but thank God the inner man is what's saved and righteous and pure and holy and right. And I thank God for that. I found that one day when I fell down on my knees as a lost sinner on my way to hell that there is a God that's available to me. You know, this morning you can come to this old-fashioned altar and you can pray to Muhammad and you won't get nothing but sore knees. Amen. Muhammad ain't going to answer you. Allah's not going to answer you. God said, "I am your God and beside me there is no other." God said, "I am God. There is no other God. There's only one God." Listen, you can come pray to Mary. You can come pray to Mary and you can do all this stuff. And you can take the wafer from a priest. And you can take that wine until you get drunk. It ain't going to help you one bit. But I want to tell you what, there's a God that's available this morning. And you say, preacher, I've done some awful bad things. I want to tell you something. You ought to join the club. Brother, I've done some bad stuff too. I've done some things so bad, I can't even tell my wife or my kids. There ain't nobody but God and myself and the devil knows what I've done. But I want to tell you, thank God I ain't there no more. It's been washed away by the blood of the Lamb of God. Thank God my sins are gone. Amen. You know, you've heard people say, my sins are covered, but that's not really doctrinally correct. In the Old Testament, they were covered. That was a temporary satisfaction and satisfied God temporarily until next year and the priest had to go do it again. Back then, see, when your sins are covered, that means they're covered. You see that? That handkerchief's over that microphone, it's covered. You can't see that microphone, right? Can't see it. But it's still there. But when you get saved under the New Testament economy, under Jesus Christ, His shed blood through, by grace through faith, listen, your sins are not covered. Thank God they're gone. They are washed away. Oh, thank God that didn't bother to make anybody shout. Had to make a backslid Episcopalian skip a little bit and shout and jump up and down. I want to tell you something. Thank God my sins are all gone. Thank God, like that song says, my sins are gone. Thank God my sins are gone. The blood has washed them away. He's available to them. They're lost. Number two. Not only to them that are lost, but He's also available to those that are backslidden. Amen. It got real quiet right there. Drop the hammer, brother. You know, some daughter, somebody asked me one time, there's a Free Will Baptist, you know, and they said, preacher, do y'all believe in backsliding? Do y'all Baptists believe in backsliding? I said, sister, not only do we believe in it, most of us practice it pretty regular. Bless God, ain't that awful? It's not that we don't think you can't backslide. We just don't believe you lose your salvation. Amen? We believe God will beat the tar out of you and either get you back right with God or take you to glory. And that's what the Bible teaches. I want to tell you something. You're out of the will of God this morning and you're miserable and you're like a wayward child and you're out of the will of God. Listen, when you get out of the will of God, you're out of place with the world and you're out of place with the church. You're out of place with yourself even. You're just like a lost sheep, man. You don't know which way to go. When you're backslid, you can't go back out in the world. It ain't right no more. Beer don't taste the same anymore. I mean, I don't know that. I know that, but I'm just saying I ain't been out doing it. But you know what? Things are different. And you're out of place with the world. The world don't want you anymore. You've been branded. You're a Christian. You've been in church shouting and carrying your Bible and all that good stuff. But then again, you don't really fit in with the church crowd because you know that you ain't right with God. And you don't fit in with God because you know you're out of fellowship with Him. And you really don't fit in with the devil. He wants you and he wants to ruin your life. But he knows ultimately you belong to God. You're even out of place with yourself. Your conscience bothers you so much you can't see a minute's peace. You're out of place everywhere you turn. You ain't never going to... Listen, the most miserable creature on this earth is somebody that's saved, born again, washed in the blood, and then gets back out and gets out of the will of God and they're back out and sin again. Amen. Amen. You can tell them, brother. You can spot them a mile away. You can tell if there's something about a Christian that's backslidden. Listen. The Bible said He's married to the backslider. And you know, He loves you and He wants to bring you home. He wants you to come back from the Bible said, we'll confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You listen, you may not be out getting drunk and running around on your wife. You could be sitting here in this church every Sunday and every Wednesday and be backslid in your heart. Your heart could be cold as a block of ice. You may be backslid in your spirit and in your heart. And if you are, thank God He's available to you if you'll call on Him. Man walked up to a little league ball game one day and he said, he asked the little boy, what's the score? And the boy said, 18 to nothing, we're behind. Man said, man, I bet you're discouraged. The little boy said, no, well, I'm not discouraged. We ain't even got up the bat yet. That's about the way you are with your backslid. You ain't even up the bat yet. You're losing. You're fighting losing battles. You ain't going to win. It's going to get worse and worse. How many times, I couldn't tell you how many times, people sat in my office and me and my wife talked to them and they said, preacher, we know where we went wrong. When we got out of church, things started downhill and they ain't been right since. Well, why in the world would you get out of church then? Well, I don't know. Things just ain't right. I just don't like our church anymore. Why don't you just keep coming and maybe you'll start liking it again? Amen. Some's going to backslide. Some people will. I hate it. I wish they didn't. But it is a blessing to see them come back to the Lord. You remember that prodigal son, don't you? He came back home, came back to the Lord. If you're listening this morning, if you're here and you're not right with God, maybe you've been saved. And I know a lot of times we witness the people knock on the doors and witness the people on the street. And most people, you hardly ever run into somebody that's just not saved. Most people have been saved at one point in time. But getting to convince them to come back and get back right with God, we're living in a day and time where sin has got such a hold on people. It's like great big claws that sunk deep into them. It's hard to get them back. But I want to tell you, if they decide to come back, there's a God that's available. And He'll hear you. Number three, not only those that are lost, those that are backslidden, but number three, those that are in trouble. People get in trouble. The Bible said, David said, God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. I heard a little boy say one time, he said, God is a very present help when I'm getting in trouble. And that's true too. He is a very present help when you're getting in trouble. He's a very present help when you are troubled. And when you have trouble. And when you're in trouble. Amen? He's a very present help in time of trouble. I want to tell you, if you're in trouble this morning, if you've got some kind of problem and you don't know how to solve it or what you're going to do, you ought to run to Jesus. He's available to you. He's available this morning. They said to a Ladies' Home Journal one time, asked a question, in whom do you trust? Here's the responses. 40% said Walter Cronkite. I wouldn't trust Walter Cronkite. You know why? He's dead. Amen. Pope John Paul, 26%. I wouldn't trust Pope John Paul either. You know why? Because he's a false religion and he's dead. I ain't gonna trust a dead person, amen. Especially a pope. Number three, 6% said they put their trust in Billy Graham. I wouldn't put my trust in Billy Graham either. You know why I wouldn't put my trust in Billy Graham? He ain't dead, but he's just a man. He ain't no different than you or me. Only 3% said that they put their trust in God. I want to tell you what, when you're in trouble, you need to put your trust in God and pray and seek God, and God will help you. Say, preacher, you don't understand. You don't know what I'm dealing with or what I'm going through. I'm in the worst mess of my life. That's the very thing that He specializes in, is those impossible cases. Amen? When you're in trouble. Psalm said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, He's a very present help when people's in trouble. I remember here reading this story one time about people being in trouble. We need to be a church where people can get out of trouble. We need to be a church where we can throw out the lifeline and rescue people. Rescue the perishing. They said one time, and it was a Baptist church. They said there was this big Baptist church, and pretty good size. And they said there's a whole bunch of people there that morning. Said there was three specific people was in the service. One of them was a man that was thinking about leaving his wife. And he was having an affair with his secretary. And he was teetering on whether to go ahead and leave his wife and kid, had two little kids, and run off with his secretary, or just get right with God and just go back to his wife. And he thought, one last ditch effort, one last shot, I'll go to church and see if I get some kind of revelation. Sometimes people come to church and they're at the crossroads and they're like on a seesaw and they're just about to make a life-changing decision. Secondly, there was a young woman there that had run away from home, and if she was going to go back home, she was going to have to repent and get right and go back to her mom and daddy and get some things right. And if she stayed on the street a long way from home where she's at, she's going to have to go into prostitution to support her habit. And so right before she made this terrible decision, she got up that Sunday morning and said, I think I'll just go to church. Maybe I'll hear something. Third man was a man facing charges of embezzlement. He was facing an indictment of embezzlement. Going to go to prison. Embezzled a bunch of money from his company. He showed up in that same service that morning. They got up and sung and went through the routine and sung a few songs and took up the altar, and then the preacher got up and preached. This is what he preached on. His sermon was entitled, Is There Life on Other Planets? Now think about that a minute. Here's three people that's in trouble, and they needed help, and they needed answers, and they needed something from God, And here's a preacher, or a so-called preacher, gets up and starts preaching about whether there's life or another planet. Listen, them people didn't need to hear about Martians, or they didn't need to hear about celestial beings or anything like that. Them people needed something from God. And brother, listen, that's exactly why we preach the way we preach and sing the way we do. Because you never know who's going to walk through that door that needs something from God. And they're facing a life-changing decision, and they're getting ready to do something that could change the rest of their life, and maybe even eternity. They said after that Sunday morning service, the man went home, packed his clothes, left his wife, ran off with the secretary. The following week, they said people started seeing that young lady out on the street turning tricks. And oh yeah, the man that's facing embezzlement charges went back to his motel room, pulled his revolver out of his drawer, and blowed his brains out. There's some people in trouble, folks. There's some people that's in trouble, and they need to know, and they need to hear the message that there's a God available. Listen, we can't help everybody. We're limited to what we can do. I mean, we can just do so much. I mean, we can help people a little bit, but really, ultimately, God can help you and straighten your life out. I mean, all we can just put a little Band-Aid on. That ain't going to help, but the solution is at Calvary. He'll come to the foot of the cross and plead and cry and beg God to help you in your time of trouble. God can straighten out your life. Brother, you'd be surprised what God can do. I've seen God put people's lives back together with just not blow your mind. You heard about the old redneck that got saved. He didn't know nothing about the Bible. He knew he was saved. And somebody smarted off said, hey, said, does Jesus still turn water into wine? He said, I don't know, but he turned beer into furniture down my house. Amen. Ain't that right? I know one thing, brother. I don't know everything about that book, but I do know this. I was lost, and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I'm seeing. I once was a slave to sin, but thank God now I'm a free man. And I want you to know when I came to Him in my hour of trouble and need, He's always helped me. Always been available. Down through the years, I've been preaching for a long time. And me and Debbie was talking the other day. Seems like you can't hardly figure out where the years have gone. Those of us got little kids, you know, you don't really think about it much when they start getting bigger and bigger, and they grow so fast. I mean, gosh, they grow overnight. And some of them kids up there, last night I'd hardly recognize them, as tall as me. Last time I saw them, as little squirts. But anyway, what I was going to say is down through the years we was talking about all the things we've seen and things we've been through and down through our lives together with our family and our kids and just different things, church people in the ministry, all the things we've seen over the years. You know what? We both came to the conclusion of that song that they sing, that we sing. God's sure been good, hasn't He? We're not talking about all them hard times. We heard just yesterday a preacher called me. Yesterday a preacher that I went to Bible college with that he's going to be indicted on 5 counts of sexual assault. 72-year-old man pastoring a church and assaulting people sexually. Listen, brother, this world's in a mess. I heard of another preacher up in the upstate of South Carolina, left his wife and family and his ministry and all this. Listen, and it's enough to blow your mind. And what I'm trying to tell you is we're living in times of trouble. And when you do get in trouble, run to Calvary and you'll find out that He's available. If you got marital problems, I wouldn't waste my money on a marriage counselor. I'm not saying a marriage counselor can't help you, but it better be a Christian Bible-based counselor. Not one of these Sigmund Freud idiots, amen? Better be somebody who believes the Bible. Preferably a good old-fashioned preacher. But I want to tell you, the best marriage counselor you'll get is right here around this altar. You and your wife ain't getting along like you should, and you got a little bit of strife, a little bit of contention, and a little bit of tension between you and her, and if things ain't rosy and things ain't a honeymoon, listen, first way to spice up your married life is get on the altar with them, put your arm around her and cry and pray and beg God's forgiveness and beg her forgiveness, and God will start putting the honey back in the honeymoon. It works. Don't it, Debbie? It works. Matter of fact, that's the only way to keep it right, keep it real. Financial trouble. I'm not saying if you come up here and pray, you're going to walk out the door and a bale of money hits you on the head. But I'll tell you what God will do. If you'll pray, the first thing He's going to tell you is start paying your tithes faithfully, regularly, every week, just like you pay anything else. That's what God will tell you. God will say, Paul said this, He'll supply all of my needs according to His riches. But He won't supply all your needs if you're cheating Him and stealing from Him. I'm not preaching on tithing this morning, but that's Bible, just like anything else. But if you start paying your tithes,
and do it faithfully. I'm not saying you get rich. This is not a Benny Hinn ministry. But if you'll pay your tithe, God will always seem to make a way somehow. You'll get a good deal on something, or you'll get a raise, or something happen somewhere, and you'll just see the God moving and working in your life, and you'll know it's the hand of God when you get in trouble. Go to the Lord. He's available. Amen? Marriage, financial, work. Tens of thousands of people out of work. You know what their best bet is? Just keep coming to church, keep living right, keep serving God, keep looking for a job, keep praying, keep seeking God, and God will open up a door somewhere down the road. What about relationships, preacher? I want a wife, I want a wife. Take mine. I'm joking. I wouldn't let them have mine if they wanted. The thing to do, young people, wait on the Lord. God will send you the right. God's got one somewhere waiting on you, prepared for you. Amen? And they'll be like you and believe like you. They're saying that don't get in a rut and go and start dating somebody that don't have a Christian Bible-believing background, because it will cause trouble down the road. It will. You're a Bible-believing Baptist. You start dating a Catholic, oh, it don't seem no problem. We love each other. Oh, preacher, it don't matter as long as we love each other. It may not matter now, but in about 10 years when them babies start being born and they start growing up and you want them to go to a Christian school and your wife wants them to go to the Catholic school, somebody's going to give in. Somebody, or it's going to be a World War II. Amen. Relationship. Just trust in God, and God will bring it to pass. When you're in trouble, just come to the Lord. He's available. No matter what it is, what's relationships, money, or jobs, or marriage, or whatever it is, I'm trying to tell you, no matter what your problem is. You say, preacher, you're my problem. Come up here and pray for me. Pray the Lord make me sweeter. Don't pray to make me preach any less harder. Just pray so you can tolerate it. Amen? Those that are in trouble, those that are lost, those that are backslidden, those that are in trouble. Number four, and I'll close. He's available to them that want Him with all their heart. If you really want the Lord, you can have Him this morning. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, Jesus said, for they shall be filled. If you want it, you can have it. Amen. You know what? You know what? We saw at that Jubilee last night. You see people crying and raising their hand and shouting, praising God. Have you ever sat back and thought, boy, I wish I could do that? You really could. You really could. If you want it, you can do it. You know, I've heard people say, gosh, I wish I could lose 50 pounds. You could. If you really want it bad enough, you can do it. Anybody can do it. You say, I wish I could quit smoking. You can if you want to. If you want it bad enough, you can do it. That's the same way with God. He said, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. If you really want God, God is available to you. We can still have a Spirit-filled life today, just like people used to. We can still shout and praise God and run out. Preacher, I'm afraid they're going to think we're charismatic. I'd rather people think we're charismatic than think we're a bunch of dead Mormons. Amen, brother. I don't care what people think. I want the Lord in my life and in my family and this ministry and in this church. I want to seek after God, and all this other stuff will fall into place. It'll find its way to us. And this one time this man said, this young man asked this old preacher, he said, I want to get more of the Lord. How do I get more of Him? I want to be closer to the Lord, and I can't seem to get closer. Okay, so come down here to the river and I'll show you. He took him by the hand, they started walking out in the water, and the old boy thought he was going to baptize him again. He thought, well, gosh, I'm going to get a second baptism. And the old man got him out there and got him up back neck deep and grabbed him and shoved him under, held him. So I'd do that to Adam last week before I'm out with me. They held him under, and the guy was flailing about, and he was bubbling and gurgling, about to die, you know, about to drown, and finally let him up, and he brought him back up on the bank. He said, what's wrong with you? Are you out of your mind? Are you insane? What are you trying to do to me? He said, what's the one thing you wanted when you were under that water more than anything in this life? He said, I wanted air. He said, when you get to where you want God that way, you have Him. You just don't want Him. If you want God, you'd be willing to give up whatever it took. Hey, you remember when he was dating your wife, dating your girlfriend? You'd give up whatever it took. If she'd have said, I don't like that car, those seats are uncomfortable, you'd trade it the next day. Pay it for the junkyard, baby. I'll get what you want. Tell me what you do like. I'll go steal it if I have to. Amen. That's the same way it is with seeking God. He's available to them that want Him with all their heart. Let's all stand this morning with heads bowed.